But I just want to say thank you so much. Nobody's sort of doing anything like this in Brisbane, so I feel like a prophetess without honour in their own home country. But I come up here and it's like, why can't my friends see this? Why can't my family? I'm going to order the video. That's what I'm going to do. Look, someone thinks I'm great. But, oh, it's online. Yay. Well, there you go. I truly am thrilled with my journey with this church. And many of you have become great friends. And as I've prayed with you and talked with you, and I've seen God do amazing, amazing things. And many of your journeys and the things you've faced have made you very precious, you know, in the journey to see God bring you through. And but it's also great to have Pastor Sue and Wayne that I met down my way from Destiny Church, Caboolture. So you're going to love getting to know them. I was thinking about the great people that have been raised up in Mackay Christian Family, because that's a real sign of you know, what you reproduce. And I'm going to be in Ipswich speaking in Pastor Tim and Kat's church at the end of July. And then in October, I'm going to be down with Pastor Ben Natoko and Trish in King's Church. And I was thinking about these great leaders. Great leaders come from great soil. And if you want a quick microwave, no thrills, drive-through destiny, you can pick that up pretty much anywhere. But it's going to be shallow and it won't last. But there is a place that grows people. And I believe it's this church. And just want to honour Pastor Rob and Denise for their amazing patience and commitment to work and raise up people and release them. So praise God. My journey with Maddie, my middle girl, just want to let you know, she's adopted her second child. So when COVID broke out, the Mackay Christian Family was the last church I was in. And it was like we were doing double services to try and accommodate the rules that were coming in. But as I flew back Monday, they announced on the news churches all over Australia were closed. And places just, everything's shutting down. But what happened that 3 months earlier, my daughter had got a notification that her second adoption was released. And they'd matched her with a little one-year-old boy at the end of the year, just prior to COVID. Everything shutting down. And so we actually had another battle of faith, thinking, well, how will this little boy ever come from the orphanage in Taiwan? How was he going to come? There's no planes coming and going. And the battle was he going to be staying there, even though adopted and had now new parents in Australia? Would he have to stay in Taiwan? And as we began to pray that through, you know, we sang that Jesus is the way maker. God parted the Red Sea for Moses, but he parted the airways for one little boy that needed to come home. And in July, when hardly any planes were coming and going, a few planes were coming from Taiwan because they had shut their borders early and there was not as much COVID, and they were bringing medical supplies. And I know when Jeff and I drove Maddie and Kane's car and our car out to the airport, everything's in darkness. You couldn't park anywhere. It's all shut down. And this one plane had come in from Taiwan. There's a bus there waiting. These poor people that had flown all that way were just being shuffled into the bus to the hotel. And we're out in the carport praying, car park, just on the edge of the road, actually. And as they came to Maddie and Kane and their little boy Jack and now their new boy, who was then 18 months coming in, the guy with the clipboard said, "Oh, Everingham's, you quarantine at home." And that just one last miracle. I got to see a glimpse of my little new grandson as we swapped cars and they shuffled him in, and I'm trying to see him in the dark. But I want to say God's still working miracles, and he goes on and on and on. Amen. It says, "He that has begun a good work will continue it till the day of his appearing." God's going to do good things this year. I believe this year is an amazing year. It's the beginning of a decade of power and the power of the Holy Spirit. And And I've spoken about adoption here before, but you know, the two things that God did before the foundation of the world, two things. Jesus Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and God adopted you. The Bible says that you were adopted in love before the foundation of the world. He planned for you to be part of his family through the salvation of Christ. Isn't that exciting? That's amazing. I want you to open your Bibles this morning and to the book of Judges. And this is Pentecost Sunday, hallelujah, where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We have the Father, the Son, and now the dispensation. But also, I believe that this decade is going to be a real new level of the Holy Spirit's power being poured out. And so I want you to turn with me to Judges chapter 3. So Judges chapter 3, I just want to read a couple of scriptures there. And it says there that in verse 9, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because they were under the oppression of an enemy. And when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And that means mightily. Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered the enemy king into their hands, and they had rest for 40 years. I believe God is raising up deliverers in this hour. And the Spirit of God is coming upon the church in a new season of an outpouring of his Holy Ghost power. Amen. But also, and Pastor Rob was prophesying that earlier, but also I believe a releasing of a dispensation of the operation of many, many, many activation of the gifts of the Spirit in healings and miracles, as Pastor Rob already said, in the prophetic. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. They were told to tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. I believe that even COVID was used, what the enemy meant for evil, God used to bring us into a tarrying, into a resting, into a waiting on God because of what he wants to launch in this decade. Amen? In this decade. And so I believe that the Spirit of God is coming even in a more powerful way in a season of an outpouring over your lives, over our lives. Amen? And so I want to just have a look at this man that God raised up. Because the enemy there, if we read in verse 7, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them or allowed them to go into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And there they were under that oppression for 8 years. 8 years is a long time to put up with something. And sometimes we tolerate stuff that, you know, eventually we say, enough's enough. And I was thinking about this this name, Cushan-Rishathaim. You know, sometimes you can go into a doctor's surgery and hear the name of something that sounds totally foreign that you've never heard of before, but it just changed your life because it's an enemy attack, amen? Cushan-Rishathaim. That actual word means man of double wickedness or doubly wicked blackness. Like Pastor Rob was saying, that we're living in a society where we're seeing doubly wicked things beginning to happen round about. But I want you to know, it hasn't taken God by surprise. Amen? And the church is still God's answer. Amen? Amen. And so it's not Uncle Sam that needs you. It's God that needs you. Amen? So praise the Lord. I want us to have a look. Where did this deliverer, where did this guy come from? Because I believe God does not just look around to find someone half-hearted, casual, go to church, sometimes Christian, and drops his anointing upon them. There is a process and a preparation of our hearts for us to come into all that God has for us. So I want us to have a look in Judges chapter 1. As the children of Israel were going in to take the land, Moses had died, Caleb was taking in a new generation, and we see there that they took and went up against Hebron and were able to secure that. But we're going to pick it up in verse 11. It says they went from Kiriath Arba, where they took out the giants, and they went to a place called Kiriath Sefer that was renamed later Debir. And Caleb says, throws it out, whoever attacks Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Aksa as wife. And Aksa was renowned, apparently, if you look up historical books on the Bible and the commentaries. She was an extraordinarily beautiful woman. And so he said, you can marry this beautiful daughter. And it happened that when it says that Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took up the challenge and he gave him his daughter Aksa as wife. I want to say, first of all, look at the people that God's bringing together. The word Caleb means forceful. The word Kenaz means hunter. Othniel's name means lion of God and power of God. And God is bringing together generations of a similar DNA because of what he wants to do at this time in history. Amen? This is an historical time. It's an awesome time. And so Kiriath Sefer was not a very renowned place. There were no notable warriors there. There were no champions. It wasn't well known for anything. It was known to be a place of study, a city of books and scribes. That's what Kiriath Sefer means, city of the book. It was maybe a place where there was like a university. And it wasn't going to make you famous, but Othniel, he actually responded. Caleb didn't say, Othniel, I want you to do that. You will not find any pastor or leader that says, I insist that you teach Sunday school. I insist that you lead a connect group. I insist that, no. The offer will go out. We need help. We need people that will be involved in part of what God's doing in this place. We need people who come alongside in the leadership of leaders in children's church, leaders in youth, people that will help here and help there. And the offer will go out. But the Holy Spirit has earmarked people that are destined to change nations. But it starts at Kiriath Sefer. It starts at a place where he put his hand up and says, yeah, I'm not going to become famous there, but I want to serve. I want to be involved. And the Bible says it was renamed Debir. The word Debir means oracle. It's the word rhema in the Old Testament. It became a living epistle. He took the word and he turned it into a testimony. He waited on God, I believe, and pressed into God. And there's got to be a process or a place where we are prepared to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because there is a process. Just like a baby, it learns to crawl, to toddle before it learns to walk and then run. And there are processes that God wants us to go through and take us through that are doorways to destiny, doorways to the purpose of God. And so we see here 8 years. That's not a short period of time. But the Bible says, despise not the day of slow beginnings. He was faithful in the little things, faithful to serve, faithful to the job that he was given. And I want to say that I have watched over many years of people that God has raised up, and I've seen the humility to serve. And interestingly, the first word for serve in the Bible is doulos, and that means to serve without pay or recognition. It means slave. Amen? And I want to say sometimes we're, you know, too precious for doing certain things, but actually God is doing a heart checkup. And he is looking for people that he can promote. And he looks in that place of Kiriath Sefer. And so what happens is 8 years later, and so his name means lion of God and power of God. Also there at Kiriath Sefer, and talking about the word of God, the Bible said in Joshua 1:8, God said to Joshua, this is your blueprint for success. Joshua 1:8, this word of God will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then I'll make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Amen? And God wants us to meditate in his word. The word meditation has a number of meanings, and one of it is to chew the cud. I could show you two paddocks and one lot of cows walking through the paddock, feeding on that luscious green grass, just walking through, feeding on the grass. But then there'd be another paddock with all these cows sitting down, just chewing the cud, chewing over the grass. They have something like three or four stomachs, and so they can eat the grass and then regurgitate it and chew it again. And they chew it over and chew it over, and then they swallow it and then they bring it back. It's great to do that with cheesecake, hey? But anyway, moving right along. But this is the only way something is produced. Milk is produced out of rest, out of meditation on the Word, out of sitting with God, with His Word. And I believe that's a very, very powerful key there. But I want to just come back here, because 8 years later, an enemy rose up, Cushan Rishathaim, man of double wickedness. And I believe that there is a new level of warfare that has come against people. If you're here today and you feel like, I just feel like I've hit rock bottom. I just feel like there's just such oppression around my mind. There's someone here and it is like a fog around your mind. God's going to break that off you today. There's someone else here and you have a fear of Alzheimer's. God's going to break that off you today. Doubly wicked strongholds of the mind. You know, that's what's been coming against people, and mental issues, you know, that have really, really rapidly increased. And we've seen, you know, suicide rates increase, and the evil has increased. But the Bible says, I'll ripen the wheat as well. The tares may look like they're growing, but the wheat is growing strong. Amen? And we're coming into our finest hour. And what I want to say is the anxiety that has been rampant in our society, God's going to replace that in your life and mine with a joy and with a freedom and with a confidence. Amen? And I believe even that box that Pastor Denise was talking about, God is breaking lots of people out of boxes, amen, and breaking out into new realms of freedom. And so particularly fear. I felt this morning that God wants to eradicate fear. But God has not given you a spirit of fear, the Bible says, but of power. Holy Ghost power, agape love, and a strong, sound, renewed mind. And so God is just breaking fear off people this morning, and depression. So I believe that God is releasing a new level of Holy Ghost power. Our world has tried very hard to eradicate God from its society. Have you noticed? Our world has tried to eradicate God from our culture. They will never eradicate God from history. And I want to just share with you some stats, because who's been watching what's happening with Israel in the news? And there has been an upper, sort of another level of onslaught against them. And the Bible says, observe the fig tree, observe Israel as a parallel, to have a look what's happening in the earth. And when they bombed that tower, you know, I felt like it was just a tower of lies that came down. And God is breaking the lies of the enemy. But I want to share this. It is a speech from Benjamin Netanyahu in the end of 2019. And this is what he said about Israel. Only 70 years ago, the Jews were taken to slaughter like a sheep. 60 years ago, we had no country, no army. Seven Arab countries declared war on a small Jewish state only a few hours after its creation. We were 650,000 Jews against many, many millions in the Arab world. There was no strong Israel Defense Force, no powerful air force to save us, only brave Jewish people with nowhere else to go. Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Egypt, Libya, Saudi Arabia, all attacked at the same time. And even when we were given the nation of Israel, it's 65% desert. In fact, I looked up a map of Israel. It's 470 kilometers from north to south and 135 kilometers east to west. That is not very big. That's like, for me, that's like from me to Bundaberg, right, in a car, or from me to, you know, I was going to say Gympie, but it's not a big piece of land, really, when you look at it. But this nation prophetically is testifying today of God's incredible power. And he says, we fought against various coalitions of Arab countries which had modern armies and many Soviet weapons, and we always beat them. Today we have a state, a country, an army, a powerful air force, a state-of-the-art economy with exports worth billions of dollars. Microsoft, Intel, IBM, and many high-tech companies. developing cutting-edge products. Our doctors receive awards and for medical research, and the number of Nobel Peace Prizes have been given to Israeli people, in a disproportionate number to anywhere else in the world. And so per capita, as we look it up. And so it goes on to say, I'm going to skip a few of these. 60 years ago, we were led ashamed and hopeless to slaughter. We have experienced the smoking ruins of Europe. We have won our wars here in Israel with less than nothing. We built our little empire from nothing. Who's Hamas to scare me, to terrify me? You make me laugh. Passover was celebrated. Let's not forget what Passover is. We survived Pharaoh. We survived the Greeks. We survived the Romans. We survived the Inquisition in Spain. And we have the we survived the anti-Jewish riots in Russia. We survived Hitler. We survived the Germans. We survived the Holocaust. We survived the armies of seven Arab nations. We survived Saddam. And we will survive. We will survive the enemy's presence. All nations and all countries who once tried to destroy us no longer exist today. While we still live, Egypt, Babylon, the Greeks, Alexander of Macedonia, the Romans, the Third Reich, and look at us, slaves of Egypt, the people of Moses, the nation of the Bible. We are still here, and the Hebrew is still the official language of the state of Israel today. From the time of the Bible till now, Arabs don't know it yet, but they will learn that there is a God. Many are getting saved over in those countries. As long as we keep our identity, we are forever. So forgive us for not worrying. Forgive us for not crying. Forgive us for not being afraid. Things are fine. They certainly could be better, but don't believe the media. They don't tell you any good things about Israel. Celebrations still continue to take place. People continue to live. People keep coming out, and people continue to see friends. Some claim our morale is low. So what? Only because we mourn our deaths while the enemy rejoice in the bloodshed of war. That is why we will win in the end. The God of Israel created the heavens and the earth. The guardian of Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Glory to the God of Israel. Hallelujah. And if he will do that for a small, insignificant nation, I'm here to tell you, he's standing in the gap and he's going to fight for you in those situations. And I want you to think about what has been the persistent problem. Kushan Mishanthian. I mean, who'd call a kid that, by the way? Little Kush. You doubly wicked thing, you. But I'm here to tell you, God is about to bring breakthrough on a miraculous level. I remember a vision that a man had, and he had this vision, and it was a big galleon ship. In the old days when they used to have the oars coming out the sides, and many men were pulling it. And in this vision, very labor intensive, he saw in this vision the wind begin to blow. And they began to look up to the sails. And initially, hesitantly, they began to unravel them. But as they let them loose, the wind caught it and they began to forge ahead. Now, I believe God is releasing a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And this is going to be the year of acceleration. I want to speak about that tonight. But this is going to be the year of acceleration of his promises, acceleration of his purposes. And he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God. Who are you, O mountain of difficulty? Who are you, O doctor's diagnosis? I know what it is to walk out of a surgery hearing someone say, we don't have a cure. This percentage of people die. This percentage of people are incapacitated. I know what it is to lie in my bed at night having that battle. That, what would happen if I died. I remember what it was to listen to my breathing. Was that a deep enough breath? Listen to my heartbeat. And to have that battle with that fear of death, that fear. I want to say, I've been up here and Pastor Rob and Denise had me come up when I had been affected quite badly and my eyes wouldn't stay open and I was wearing an eye patch. I don't know if you remember me coming up with the eye patch. Looked like a pirate. In fact, my brother with a sense of humor bought me a stuffed parrot for Christmas. But I want to tell you today, no symptoms, no medication, nothing. Hallelujah. Our God is able. Whose report will you believe? And I believe today God wants to break the power of doubly wicked things, and he is bringing such a move of his spirit. You know, Othniel rose up because the Holy Spirit came upon him. And so I want us just to stand now. I'm being aware of time, Pastor Rob. And I want us just to stand because I do believe God wants to bring miracles. And I don't need to speak much longer because God wants to release miracles here today. God's power is present to heal. Can a nation be born in a day? Yes. A life can be changed in a day. I believe that you can walk through those doors with problems, with situations, and walk out with a turnaround anointing, with a breakthrough over your life. And I just want to say it's great to be here with my daughter, Peter, and she wouldn't mind me sharing this. And I think some of you have heard that testimony that as a young pregnant teenager, you know, I was expecting, and I actually went to a doctor and made a down payment for a termination. And I thank God for the intervention of God, because a few days before the procedure, all these nice names for murder, a few days before, I felt a fear of going through it, and decided just on the whim, I think I'll keep this baby. And I prayed for every rejection that might have come through the womb over this beautiful girl. And I wonder how life would be without my daughter, Peter, and my two beautiful granddaughters, Lily and Mia. You see, Satan's a robber. He's a man of double wickedness. And he is the one that is murdering babies in the womb. I thank God. And even though she went through a tough time, you know, in her life at one stage, and she was sharing yesterday about going through eating disorders and things. We were estranged, actually. And I, as a Christian mother, was breaking my heart. But I want you to know, I'm here with her today to testify to you that no matter where your children are, no matter what's happening with them, God is able. And one of the keys is to ask yourself the right question. And the question is this: what will my life look like when God's miracle power has broken through, is breaking through? What will my daughter look like when she's standing in church with her hands raised? What will it feel like to have her come and minister alongside of me? She's far from God. She's brokenhearted. Yet, God, this is a picture. What will my life look like? We've got to stop asking the wrong questions. The wrong questions lead to unbelief. Well, why doesn't God help me, and I'm not worthy anyway, and I'm just the least, and I'm just the poorest, and Satan's there ready to agree with you. But when we ask the right question, God, today I'm in your house. I'm in the house of bread. I'm in the house of miracles. I'm in the house of the Holy Ghost power. So I want you just to lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every enemy assignment. I take authority over generational strongholds, even suicide, even generational strongholds of poverty and lack, and also depression. I break that now. I take authority over the things that have blocked and stopped the people of God. And I thank you today. We're in your house. And Holy Ghost, I thank you for a mighty move of your spirit. And as we're lifting our hands, oh God, I thank you right now for a miracle being released, a miracle. If you're here today and you're believing for a miracle of a great proportion like Kushan Rishanthiam, just give me a wave wherever you are. You need that miracle, yeah. I want you to know God's in the house today. And you might not see wind or rain. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. Even when you don't see it, he's going to do it. Amen. So, Father, today I thank you, Lord, that we come boldly to the throne room of grace. It's Pentecost Sunday. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for miracles in families now. Miracles over children right now. Miracles over grandchildren right now. And, Lord, I thank you, you're the way maker. And you're making a way. God's doing something in a marriage here right now. And he's bringing a healing right now. Thank you, Lord. There's someone else here, and there's a healing you need, and it's a, I believe it's an area like thrombosis. God's healing people with blood disorders today. God's healing people in the area of blockages in hearts right now. God's healing people. He's doing something in people's minds. And I see that area of just a fear of Alzheimer's or a sense of just a sense of a fog around your mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break that now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I want to say that the Bible says that when the children of Israel forgot God and that they ended up in bondage, I want to say, you know, forgetting leads to neglect. And we can just start to leave God out of our everyday life. We just get too busy and we start to forget. And once we start to forget, we start to think, gosh, do I really want to make the effort in going to church? I find it hard to relate to people and I don't like crowds. And the enemy's there because the enemy used to pick off the stragglers. His great job is to isolate you. Well, why don't you just take your Bible and go and sit at that nice cafe by the beach? You know, you don't have to worry about the pressure of meeting and mingling with people and feeling awkward. I want to say, when you really love God, no matter what is happening, you want to walk through those doors and forsake not the gathering together, as is the manner of some. Amen? Hallelujah. I just want to come and pray for Pastor Rob and Denise, if I may. And thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord says, son and daughter, even as you have been in it for the long haul. And I see those big long haul trucks. And the Lord says that there is so much that you're carrying. And I see you like those, like an enemy fighter craft that has bombs to drop. And God says, I see Pastor Rob as an apostolic father. There's going to be those that are going to say, come and help us see a breakthrough. But God says, I've put a breakthrough anointing. I've put a gift of faith upon your life. And even as you have stood against the winds of adversity, you have stood in transitional times and you have stood again and again. God says, I am releasing you even to a new season where there's going to be an apostolic fathering even of many other households and many other places. And the Lord says, it's not going to detract from the footprint that you have here. But God says, the plans that you have in your heart and the things that I've been showing you are of me. So the Lord says, there's going to be an opening up of those doors. There's going to be an opening up even of a new season. And God says your latter days are going to be filled with rejoicing and filled with celebration. And look what the Lord has done. For what you've done in one house, God says, you're going to carry the keys to many other houses and you're going to be unlocking things. And I see you even like with a bit funny, but like a Daniel Boone hat on. And I see like you're helping people pioneer key areas, not pioneer whole churches, but just how to bring breakthrough and unlock doors and breakthrough in areas where there's needing to be that sense of a pioneer spirit. Because I've given you both that pioneer spirit and you've known what it is to stay the course. And I see you ahead of that galleon ship just with the wheel. And I just see upon you both, it's like it's like you've got that telescope and you're looking out and God says you are coming into a new place, even a new space, and the lands and plans that I'm giving you, even for a strategy to step into, is going to be miraculous. So the Lord says, get ready to see this new season is going to be flooded with my glory. For it's a Psalm 24 anointing that's coming over you both. The Lord says, even that prophetic anointing daughter that God says I've put upon you, you're going to even speak words of life and prophetic words into many. It's upon you both to speak destiny into many others. So the Lord says, this is a time of release. You're going to speak to people in parliament, you're going to speak to people in government situations, and I'm going to bring you into situations where you'll speak and have a word in places where decision making is made. Hallelujah.
And the Lord says, son and daughter, know that this is a season where I'm bringing crystal clear vision. You're gonna see very accurately the next steps, and God is gonna open your eyes, and you're gonna see I just see God is gonna bring the right people into this house. And God says, you've been believing for those right people, and God says, I'm bringing those ones, and I'm also there's even not a cutting away, but there will be some people that will leave. But God says that I am flushing out, and this is a new season. And God says, even no daughter, that there is new levels of government that I'm placing upon your shoulders. There's a new authority and new levels of my anointing. And I'm going to even bring those from the north, south, east, and west that have the same vision, that have the same fire, and they're going to support and lift you up. But God says, I'm bringing you to a place that is where you're not going to be having to run the day-to-day. And there's been even a weariness in feeling that you have to oversee different areas. But God says, I am bringing those ones that you're going to be able to trust, you're going to be able to lean upon, because they are going to have the same vision, they're going to have the same fire. And I just see that this is going to be a house that's going to be going to new realms, and there's an open heaven over this house, even for a new anointing of my fire. And I just see a table spread. It's like a table that God is spreading, and he's saying, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And God says people are going to be drawn to this house because they're going to see the miracle power of God, and they're going to say, surely the hand of God is upon this place. And God says, even the foundation and what you've built upon in this house, you are going to take, even as Mum said, to other houses. It's going to be you're gonna show people how to do it. You're gonna show people how to raise up leaders that will stay the course. And there is just that governmental anointing and authority that's coming upon your life. And you're gonna be seen as ones that are generals in the kingdom, ones that have been tested, tried, and true, and come forth as pure gold. And I just see that there is just a new anointing, and there's just a fresh. I just see this, where there's been a heaviness at times, there's just such a lightness coming upon your lives. And God says you're going to cruise in this next season. There's going to be an ease. There's going to be a cruise. And there's going to be a time for you to have some time out, R&R. And I do see a cruise boat. I see that there's a time where you're going to be able to rest and fully rest, where you're not going to worry about a thing because you know that God's got it. And I just see that there's this crystal clear vision, where you're just going to so know the next steps and the plans of God. Thank you, Father.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just lift your hands one more time. Father, I thank you that as we're in your presence today, on Pentecost Sunday, your word says to be filled and keep on being filled, crammed, filled. So we ask for a fresh infilling. For the Lord would say, I am bringing a fresh baptism of my Holy Spirit. I'm baptizing you in fire and the Holy Ghost. So you're going to know from this day forward that I am pouring out a double portion upon this place, and it will be a move of my Spirit, and it will not be might or power, but by your might or power, but by my Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon many in this house. For I'm raising up leaders. I'm raising up deliverers. I'm raising up the fivefold in this house. For it's a new day and it's a new time. So go forth, says the Lord, and take dominion. For you will rule in the midst of your enemies. Hallelujah. Once more, let us just, Father, we thank you for a faith picture of our sons and daughters in church with their hands raised, with our families blessed, with our neighbors getting saved, that the people we've been witnessing to, it's going to be easy for them to be saved. We see people coming to church looking for answers. We see new people being saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've come today and you've been invited by a friend, or you've been coming and maybe you've known about God, but you've not met him. And the Bible says, unless a man or woman is born again, I'll never see the kingdom of God. And to be born again means to ask Jesus into your heart, and he gives you a new heart. You become a new person. And I want to encourage you today. In fact, if you're here today and with nobody looking around, and if you today, and all I would ask you to do, if that's you today, just slip up your hand to God, not so we get up to anybody else. Just raise your hand today. If you were to die tonight, you're not sure where you would go. Just Today you can give your life to Jesus Christ. Today, if that's you, I want you just to, in your heart, open your heart up to Jesus Christ and ask him to come in to be your Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to hand this back to Pastor Rob, and Peter and I are here to pray for people. Maybe something I've shared has touched on your heart in an area, but also to, we just want to be able to just encourage people and pray for them.